I'll be bringing another message from the book of Ruth. Chapter 2
is our location. Chapter 2 of the little book of Ruth.
Got it located?
Well, let's pray. I'm going to pray. Father, I pray that you'll lift our heads high above all discouragement. We know that there's no death where Christ abides, and where you said two or three gather together in my name, that you said I am there in the midst. And so we pray that you'll be pleased to bless us this morning by lifting up our souls, that we might be blessed in the consideration of this passage of Scripture, this precious story of redemption. This is a wonderful, wonderful illustration of how God brings His people to Himself and the joy that they enter into in their relationship with God through Christ. So bless, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The second chapter of Ruth. Let me read the whole chapter. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Elimelech, you remember, is the husband, the deceased husband of Ruth. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went, and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her luck. Oh, the providential blessing of God was upon her, and was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now remember, Naomi did not disclose to her Boaz. The Holy Scripture just told us who Boaz is. And so when Ruth left the house to glean, she, in the providence of God, fell upon the field, that this kinsman of Naomi's husband owned. All right, verse 4, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' They answered him, 'The Lord bless thee.' Then Boaz said unto them, unto his servant that was set over the reapers, 'Whose damsel is this?'" We're going to come back to that in just a little bit. Whose damsel is this? Talking about Ruth. And the servant, verse 6, "And the servant said, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab.'"
Pretty clear, wasn't it? He knows up front, this is one of those accursed Moabites.
"And she said, 'I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, 'Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they," I like this right here, "that they touch thee not?"
Unbeknown to her, he's already put a charge to these fellas. I believe he's got his eye on her, don't you? I think he's got the eye that says, "This is mine, don't touch it."
But anyway, he goes on and says, "And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn."
In other words, you've got a specialty here.
Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Isn't that the sinner's cry? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why? Why? Deserving not a drop of mercy. Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense, reward thee. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, some more favor, extra favor. At mealtime, he said, come thou hither, and eat the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her. Oh, it's so sweet. He reached her, part scorn. He just giving to her. And she did eat, and was sufficed, satisfied, and left. And when she was risen up to go, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And watch this now. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Just scatter a little bit along the way. Make sure she's getting more than what the others are getting. Give her a handful of purpose. And leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up. That's pretty good gathering for one day. An ephah of barley. That's grain after it's been beaten out of the husk. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she had was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and she said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now this is news to Naomi. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. I mean, she sees the favor of God on her behalf. Through Ruth, God has shown favor. And she goes on and says, And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of harvest, of barley harvest, and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So all the harvest season, she stayed fast in the field of Boaz. And this relationship continues to build. You know, here over in the first chapter, we looked at Ruth's resolution last week. I'll just read that again. That's in verse number 16 and 17. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people," now this is important, "thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee from me."
So she's so engaged with Naomi, her mother-in-law, inseparably engaged, refusing to leave her. She goes with her to the land of Israel, and there she enters into a strange place, but herself being a stranger, a new people altogether. She's come to know a true God, the true God, the only true God.
Matter of fact, I looked at this, I thought, well, Ruth was delivered from gods, plural, false gods, imaginative gods, to the one true God. To the one true God. Scripture says in Isaiah, "Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God." So she's come to see that there's one true God. She's divorced herself and forsaken all the false gods in the land of Moab. Now she's embraced the true God.
Also says in Isaiah, "Fear not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it?" What did he declare? He said, "You are even my witnesses." My witnesses. Is there a God beside me? He answers the question, yea. No. In other words, yea is no here. Because he goes on and says, "There is no God. I know not one." And if God knows not one, there must not be one. Whatever people might latch on to and hold to, embrace and worship, if it's not the true God, it's not God. So he makes that so clear. So she found Naomi's God, and she found Naomi's people. And so we come to chapter 2, and there's something else that rises up here. It's most important, a vital lesson here. Oh, yes. You know, she still lacks kinship. And that's important. You know, the devils know God. You know what James said? The devils know God, and they fear and they tremble. So you hadn't got there yet by knowing the true God. Our nation, for the most part, is a one God nation. But they worship, they know not what. And you can't worship the true God until you're akin to Him. And you've got to have a kinsman redeemer before you can be akin to Him. And that's what we have in chapter 2 here, as this story develops. It just continues to get larger and larger. And as I said to begin with, it's the story of redemption. It's one of the most marvelous stories in the Bible of the redeeming work of God and His redeeming work and love for His people. You know, the Athenians, they worshipped, but they worshipped, as Paul reminded them, they don't know what. They knew not what. So we have to come to know the true God through Jesus Christ the Lord. It's the only way we can know the true God. If we don't know Jesus Christ, we never really know the true God. Jesus said to Thomas, he made this so clear. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." No man. No person comes to the Father except by Jesus Christ. So Boaz gives us a picture of Christ. He's a marvelous picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth gives me a picture of me. The accursed but elect sinner that's to be brought out of this dark world, away from heathenism, away from the worshiping of false gods, to know the true God, but I must come through Jesus Christ, the heavenly Boaz, if I'm going to come to know Him. You know, the Bible is a road map. It's a road map to Christ. Every road you find in the Bible leads to Jesus Christ. Every road you find in the Bible, it's marked out. It leads to Christ. He's the city of refuge. Remember, there were six cities of refuge? And they were marked, carefully marked, all over Palestine. And if someone who was fleeing the manslayer was going to find refuge, and of course those cities are a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our refuge. And if a manslayer was after a particular fellow, and he was fleeing from the manslayer, he had road signs that showed him the nearest refuge, the nearest city of refuge that he might flee to in order to escape the slaying by the manslayer. And so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. This Bible here it leads us to the Lord Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation is nothing but a road, just a book of road, just a road map showing us how to get there, how we must come, showing us what has been prepared for us and what we shall gain when we find Christ. So, Boaz was Ruth's way into the family of God. She laid hold of Naomi, and she said, whoever your God is, that's my God. But she's not quite there yet. She's got to get there through kinship. And so Boaz, was Ruth's way into the family of Naomi, which was of the family of God. And so Christ is the sinner's only way into the heavenly family. The only way. I want you to notice something very important. I told you I'd come back to it. Verse 4 and 5 of chapter 2. It says, "Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem." That's where he lived. That's where his home was. He's a wealthy man. He owned probably thousands of acres. And he made his money through crop, through wheat and barley, and he had numerous fields. But he lived in Bethlehem. And, of course, Bethlehem's a city of bread, and that's eventually where Naomi winds up, in the city of bread. She's going to eat bread under the king's table the rest of her days, like old Mephibosheth. And so it says here that Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." He was a godly man, a man that loved God. And he was a very gentle man, compassionate man toward his reapers, his workers. And so the first thing out of his mouth when he comes to his reapers, his workers, is, "May God bless you. Oh, may our God bless you this day." That seemed to have been his salutation every time he approach these people. He goes on and says, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Oh, they loved him. Response here. He loved them. They loved him. They said, "The Lord bless thee." And then in verse 5, now watch this. "And then Boaz said unto his servant," his servant, that must be his overseer, "said unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this?" And there's numerous maidens out there in the field, a great number of maidens out there in the field. They're reaping, working. But all of a sudden, his eye catches one in particular. And so he asks his overseer, he said, "Whose is this? Whose maiden is this?" He's interested. So my question is, who noticed who first? See how the type opens up? Who noticed who first? It was Boaz. Hey, who noticed you first? Huh? It was our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. You love him. Why? John says it, because he first loved you and manifested his love to you. You saw it in the gospel. You saw what he did as he gave himself on Calvary's cross as a sacrifice for you. Oh, my. Yeah, this is beautiful as it opens up. And I love him. Why? Because he first loved me.
because he first loved me. If he hadn't loved me first and manifested his love to me by opening my old dark heart and revealing to me his marvelous love and compassion, his love and kindness toward me through the sacrifice he made on the cross, I'd never love him. There'd never be no love in my heart for him. There's a beautiful picture over here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Look at it. Ezekiel chapter 16. I love this. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. Look at verse number 4. We'll start in verse number 4. Talking about his church here. This is a spiritual picture of his church and where he found her. He said, as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. Hey, we were outcast. That scripture says that, hey, that's who he sought us out. One of the names he has for his people is old sought out. He sought us out from among the world, the heathen, and brought us to himself. Not I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Just like a stillborn child, we lay in this old unmerciful world until God passed by. Notice it says in verse number 6, and when I passed by, and when I passed by thee, he said, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. There's regeneration right there. Live. Dead in sin and trespasses, and God the Spirit said, live, and we live. Oh my. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And he said, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Oh, how he clothed us in his own righteousness when he brought us to himself and fashioned us after him, being conformed to his image. He goes on and says, now, when I pass by thee and look upon thee, behold, that time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt. Now, watch this right here. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. That's the word of God. That's what it's for. It's cleanse us, continually cleanse us. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed thee. I washed away thy blood from thee. And I anointed thee with oil. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thy feet with badger skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen and covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thine hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears. And a beautiful crown upon thine head. Oh, my. Thou wast decked
with silver and gold. This is what he does for his people. Just dresses them, making them fit for the glory world.
All right, back over here to Ruth now. Verse number 8, look at it again. I spread my skirt over thee.
See the middle part there?
And entered into a covenant. And said, you're mine. I look back over here at Ruth again. Look at chapter 3. Here it comes. Chapter 3, verse number 1-9. Look at it. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? Where's our rest? Where is our rest? Huh? He's our rest, isn't he? Christ Jesus the Lord. Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose
maidens thou wast. Behold, he winnoweth with barley tonight.
It was the end of the season. The harvest was complete. The grain had been gathered. And when they gather grain over there, they gather it to what they call a floor, where they beat the husk, beat the grain until the husk is loose from it. And any good, slick, flat place. When I was over there in 1969, I saw this at first hand. I went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. We took the bus down there. And as we traveled down the road, the old Jericho road had been destroyed in certain places, and they had to build a new road to Jericho. That was because of the 1967 war. It had been bombed several times. But the Bedouins, which roam that part of the country over there, even today, and they just go here and there by law, they have the freedom to go and just sow the grain in various places and reap it at harvest time. They take the grain down to places on the old Jericho Road, asphalt road, and that's where they'll beat the husk loose from the grain and separate the grain from the husk. They gather the grain into their garners, their barns, and the husk, is, of course, the wind takes it away. And so I saw an old Bedouin beating his, he had a winnowing fork. Go to Matthew chapter 3 and you see this, what I'm telling you. He had a winnowing fork. And he was beating a pile of grain, and as he beat the grain, he'd dip his fork under the grain and husk and throw it up in there, and there was a breeze blowing, and it would take the husk over to another location, and there was a pile of husk there. He was separating this thing. It was harvest time. And so it's harvest time now. The reapers have gathered all the grain, and they've come to winnow the grain and to separate the grain from the husk. And so he says, he goes on and says, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, whose maidens thou wast with? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and now watch this, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down to the threshing floor, to the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, that simply means he was a little bit too intoxicated. That's what he's talking about there. He was kind of out of it. Pretty clear, isn't it? And says he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly, very quietly,
softly, and uncovered his feet, and lay her down.
That is at his feet. Boy, this is a marvelous picture of worship, isn't it? I'm telling you what's the truth. You know, this is us. This is you and I. God can be pretty hard on us. We like that dog up there. I call it Patsy's dog. That dog, I'm the one that has to scold her and tell her what she can do and what she can't do. I can get on that dog. Hard sometimes. And lo and behold, she'll come right up and right at my feet, and she'll start licking my toes and my shoes, and she'll reach up and lick my hand. And she said, I don't care what you do to me, I'm yours. And that's kind of that's the way we are as sinners. He goes on and says, and when Boaz eat and drink, married and so forth, she came lay down softly at his feet, uncovered his feet, and says, it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid. Something startled him. All of a sudden he realized something's happened. It wasn't there when I laid down. And so in a startled state, he turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she said, I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Going back to
Ezekiel 16, that God entered into that covenant. He spread His skirt over us and entered into that covenant. And He says, "Thou art mine. Thou art mine." This is when Boaz embraced Ruth in that way in which every man does his wife when he becomes engaged to her, puts her engagement ring on the finger. That's the way we did it. Back then, the way they did it was just like he did it here. He spread that skirt over and said, "You're mine. You're mine. Don't belong to nobody else but me. You belong to me."
Now look back
at verse 14 through 17 of chapter 2. I think that's one I want. Maybe chapter 3. Go away, yeah. Let's go here. Chapter 3, verse 14. "And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she arose up, or she rose up, and before one could know another. And he said, 'Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor.' Also he said, 'Bring the veil that thou hast with thee upon thee, and hold it.' And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, 'Who art thou, my daughter?' And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, 'These 6 measures of barley he gave to me. For he said to me, What's this now? Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Oh, again, what a marvelous picture this is. Blessed be the Lord. You know, there is no going from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Boaz, no ever for His child going forth empty. He always fills us with His goodness, His kindness, His love and mercy. David said in Psalm 16:11, "You will show me the path of life, and in Your presence is fullness of joy. And at Your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Just full. No end to it. No end to the measures of His love toward His people. Now look at verse number 18 in our second chapter, where it says, "And he took it up and went into the city," or she took it up and went into the city, "her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved, and after she was sufficed." Then verse 18 of chapter 3. "Then said she, 'Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall.'" Now you might wonder why he told her when she rose up and went back into the city, "Don't tell anyone that a woman came to the threshing floor." It was forbidden women do this, and that you came into the threshing floor. In other words, Boaz knew that something had to take place before he could consummate this marriage with her. He's engaged to her, but something had to take place before he could consummate the marriage. He had to satisfy the law concerning the near kinsman. And he had to satisfy that law in a way that God had ordained it. Couldn't be done no other way. And before he could take her as his bride, as his wife, this matter had to be accomplished. And so that's the reason for this thing. That's what Naomi's saying in this passage of Scripture over here. He knows something has got to be done, she's telling Ruth, in order to make you his bride. And wait, just wait patiently until that's accomplished before you enter into the joy of being his own. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, something over here. Let me read verse 18 while you turn it. "She then said
She sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. This is verse 18 of chapter 3. Until the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day.
Until he have, keep that word in mind, until he have finished the thing this day. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, 8, and 9. Look at this.
Then said I,
this is Christ.
Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me.
You know what book he's talking about, don't you? Talking about this Bible. In the volume of the book, this Bible talks about Christ. Nobody, I mean, Christ is the centerfold of this book. You're all the way through. Look for Christ when you read the Bible.
It is written of me, what? To do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin, thou wouldest not, that didn't satisfy, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second.
That is, he taketh away the first covenant, the old covenant, that he might establish the new covenant. That was his whole purpose of coming into this world. It had to be accomplished. It had to be finished. He could not rest, nor could his bride rest, until he had accomplished all that the Father had given him to do. Look at John chapter 18. John 18. Look at verse 10 through 11 there.
Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me,
shall I not drink it? It's got to be finished. It's got to be done. It can't be cut short.
Down in verse 19, chapter 19, verse 30. This is what he's talking about. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It's over with. It's done. All has been accomplished.
Nothing has been taken from it nor added to it. He entered into the wine press alone. And with the people, there was none.
What I'm saying is this, as Boaz, folks, must finish the work that he might redeem Ruth and take her for his own, so our heavenly Boaz finished the work. He finished the work and redeemed his bride
to be forever his own.
All done. All accomplished. We can rest because he rests. We enter into Him. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. So rest in Him. All right. Father, thank you for this time together. Bless us as we continue through the day. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. Help us through our trials, O Lord. We know that your children have been chosen in the furnace of affliction. And we go through these things in life, but the Lord has a grand purpose for all. He never forsakes his people, never leaves them alone. God bless us, we pray, and help us to wait patiently until the Lord is pleased to give us understanding. Because so many things we don't understand as we go through day by day in the affairs of life. So bless, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Okay, Adam, what are we going to say?